Judges chapter 6. This is a great story. I would encourage you to go back and read this story in Judges chapter 6 and 7. We won't cover all of it in great detail tonight, just for time purposes. But it is a great story. We're going to hit a few verses. And it's good homework. So go back and read it and see the stuff that we missed. Also, while y'all are turning to that, before I forget, tomorrow night we will be having cottage prayer meeting at the Freeman's. Some of you are saying, we just had it there last night. Well, good news. We're having it there again. And so nobody has signed up. They graciously volunteered to host it again. And so what we need maybe is a little bit of help. If some of y'all who are coming would be willing to bring a little bit of food, maybe some snacks or some finger food, maybe bring a pizza or a bag of chip or a batch of cookies or whatever. If we could all bring a thing or two, somebody bring some drinks, we'll have enough. And that way they don't have to do all that. They cooked enough last night. So if y'all are willing to bring something and help with that tomorrow, they're going to provide the place and we'll provide the food and the prayer and the fellowship. So y'all tell Dana before you leave tonight what you'd be willing to bring to help her with that. So thank y'all for hosting that again for us. And then Friday night, it'll be at Fish and Diane's. And so if y'all haven't been coming to these, I would invite you to come and encourage you to come at 6 o'clock. It's been a really good week. We have had some good time in song and some good time in prayer. It's been good fellowship, just a lot of people just kind of pouring out their heart and lifting up their requests and their praises to God. And it's been a really beautiful week. And so I would encourage you, if you can come tomorrow night and Friday night at 6 o'clock, to come and be part of that. Bring a friend with you. We don't have a limit. You can bring and invite as many people as you want to. We'll be glad to have them. So tomorrow night, back at the Freeman, 6 o'clock, Friday night at Fish and Diane's. All right, Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1, but I'm going to kind of just jump through it and hit a few verses throughout this story. I was reading some scripture last night, and I read one of these scriptures that we're going to talk about tonight, and I thought, man, what a powerful moment in the life of Gideon, and really, maybe we can have such a powerful moment in our life in this revival, or maybe at some point in the future, should God see fit to bless us and use us in a similar way. So let's pray, and we'll get started. God, we come to you. I thank you for the freedom that we have to come into your house. I thank you for your people. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for Jesus. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross. I thank you for your good word. And I pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in your word, that there would be something maybe that we need to hear in this tonight, something that would help just begin to restore us, to draw us closer to you, to cause us to call on you and to trust in you, dear Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us. I pray that as we prepare for this revival, that your Holy Spirit would be among those who are going to lead us, that your Holy Spirit would be among us as we come, dear Lord, that we would feel your presence, that it would have an impact in our life, that it would change our heart and change our life and change our attitude, dear Lord, that it would transform us and transform our church and transform our community, God, and that only can come through your power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, God, that tonight we would be ready for that we would seek that. And even now, dear Lord, that you would be among us. All these things, dear Lord, for your glory tonight, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord handed them over to Midian 7 years. Now, the book of Judges is kind of a repeat over and over. The story goes like this. God blesses his people. His people sin. God turns his people over. He punishes his people. God sends a judge to deliver his people. His people come back to him. His people sin. And the cycle repeats itself. And so in this part of the cycle, we're going to talk about a man named Gideon. Now, the way that God was going to deal with his people here was through the Midianites and some of the other folks around. As you read through those chapters, you'll see. But mainly the focus is on the Midianites. And so God's people had done what was evil. They weren't following him. They weren't seeking him. They weren't listening to him. They were living in disobedience. And so what God did was he handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Now we see this oftentimes the way that God brings judgment on his people, in the Old Testament especially, is he just kind of removes his hand of protection from them. Now, as long as they're obedient to God, God is fighting for them. It is God who is fighting their battles. It's God who's taking care of them. But then they abandon God, and God just kind of removes his protection. And without God, they're hopeless. Because what are they going to do without him? What are we going to do without him? What are we going to do if we abandon God? There is nothing or no one else we can trust in. And so these people were living in evil. So God says, okay, I'm taking a step back. I'm going to let these Midianites really kind of have their way with you for 7 years. For a long period of time. This wasn't for a day or two. This was a long period of time that God was dealing with his people. Nevertheless, even though God was bringing some judgment on his people here, God was going to be faithful to deliver his people. And this time, the judge that he was going to use was a man by the name of Gideon. Now, in Judges chapter 6, verse 15, we see this. The Lord's calling on Gideon here, and listen to what Gideon says in Judges 6, 15. He said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." So what does Gideon say? He says, "I'm not good enough for the job. I'm too weak. I'm not strong enough. I'm the weakest one in the weakest family in the tribe of Manasseh. I'm the weakest one." And here he's making an excuse. Now, this is kind of similar to what Moses did when God called Moses. "Well, I'm not a good speaker." But here's something that you may notice. When you look through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that the people that God chooses are not necessarily extraordinary people by worldly standards. They're just kind of average people. Or maybe even, as Gideon would describe himself here, below average. Just a weakling. Nothing fancy. Even the disciples that Jesus chose, that probably would not have been the group that the other religious leaders of the day would have chosen. But yet Jesus kind of picks this, if we can call them, a ragtag group of different people from different walks of life. None of them, I don't think we could classify as super fancy or super awesome in a variety of ways. They were just kind of normal, hardworking men that had flaws, that sometimes spoke out when they shouldn't, that maybe did some things that they shouldn't have done. And Jesus picked these guys. And here God picks Gideon, and he says, "Look, Gideon, I want to use you. I want to use you." Now, in Isaiah, we see that famous verse where he says, "Here I am, send me." Now, that's a good response. If we feel God calling us to do something and leading us into something, a good response would be, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And maybe sometimes that's our response, but maybe not. Maybe sometimes we're more like Gideon. And we have some opportunity to serve, some opportunity for God to use us, some opportunity for us, for God to work in our life and to use us to work in somebody else's life. And whatever it is before us seems really scary. "God, I'm not good at talking to people. God, I don't know enough of your scripture to serve you in that way. God, I don't want to go to that place. I'd feel uncomfortable. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm not in good enough shape. I'm not smart enough." I mean, we come up with a variety of excuses. And some of those things might be true. We might not be very smart. We might not know much of God's scripture. We might not be in very good shape. We might be scared to go to the places that God calls us. Those things may very well be true. But nonetheless, God calls us all the same. Because God does not call us to serve him because we have somehow met the qualifications. That God says, "Okay, here's my qualifications." What he does is he picks the men and the women who are right for the job, and he says, "I will help you do the job." And we need to remember that. When God calls us to do something as individuals or as a church, it may seem like a big task. It may seem overwhelming. How are we going to do it? We're going to do it through God who calls us to do it. And that's an important thing for us to remember in our individual life and our life as a church. So here Gideon was called by the Lord to do this work. He's called to stand up for God's people. He's called to stand up against this enemy. He's called to stand up against this idolatry that God's people are caught up in. And he's kind of reluctant. as maybe you and I are. But what we're going to see is that God uses him in a very powerful way. Skip on down to Judges chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. We're kind of skipping a little bit here. We're really going to kind of take part right in the middle of that. The last part of 25 and 26. We'll start at the beginning of 25, and I'll tell you the part we're going to kind of focus on when we get there. So, chapter 6, verse 25. On that very night, the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull and a second bull, 7 years old." Okay, listen to this part right here, starting right here. "Then tear down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Build a well-constructed altar to the Lord your God on the top of this rock." So what was the problem that God's people were dealing with? Well, they had abandoned God. And what did God tell them? He said, "Look, you don't need to have any other gods before me. Do not worship any idols." And what do God's people often do? In the Old Testament, today, even among us in this church, we don't carve out something out of wood or a stone, but we have these things in our life that becomes our idols. Sometimes maybe they're not even things that necessarily are bad, but we put so much emphasis on them that they become an idol, that they become the most important thing to us. And so God's people, Israel here, they were worshiping these idols, this idol of Baal and this Asherah pole, a pole that they would have gone to have worshiped these false gods and to have committed their idolatry and the things that they were doing. And so what God does is he picks Gideon. He says, "You're the man for the job." Gideon says, "Hold up." And then God says, "Yep, you're the man. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to your father's Asherah pole and where the Baal is that the people are going to worship, and you're going to destroy those things. You're going to destroy them." Now, this is good scripture for us. He says, "You're going to destroy those things that are there, those idols that are there, that sin that is there. You need to remove it. You need to get it out of there." Now, this is good instruction for us. There may be some sin in our life. There may be some idols in our life. There may be some things in our life that have taken the place of God. Some things that we are focusing way too much of our time and our attention to. And maybe it is time for us. Maybe this is a good week as we're right on the edge of this revival, getting ready to get kicked off. Now may be a good time for us to say, "God, there are some things in my life that should not be there. There are some things in my life that I'm putting too much focus on. And maybe today is the good day for us to begin to destroy those things." Those altars in our life that we go to, those altars of greed and hatred and anger and envy and strife and all of these things that are not good. Perhaps it's time to begin to tear some of those altars down. And that's what God tells Gideon to do. Go and tear this altar down. And listen to what he says in the next verse. "Build a well-constructed altar to the Lord your God on the top of this rock." So it's not just a tearing down and destroying the old. It's not just a destroying the old altar, but replacing it with a new altar, with a well-constructed altar, with an altar that's built on stone, with an altar that's built on a good foundation. You see, these altars they had built, they were altars to a false god, to an idol that was not going to save them. It wasn't Baal who brought God's people out of Egypt. It was God who brought his people out of Egypt. Baal was of no significance, of no strength. He was nothing. And so his altar was nothing. And so what did God realize his people needed to do? He realizes that they needed to come back and begin to worship him. They needed to come back to a better altar. They needed to take the old altar out, the old ways out, the old sins out, and come to a better altar that was going to come with better blessings. And so what does he tell him? He says, "Build a well-constructed altar to the Lord your God on the top of the rock." So that's what we need to do. We need to see what altar are we going to in our life today? Are we kneeling before the altar of the world and the things of the world? Because I'm going to tell you what, the altar of the world is pretty bad. And the things of the world are pretty bad. And the idols of the world are pretty bad. And we're not above those things, because those temptations come to us. And we fall into those temptations sometimes. We begin to idolize people, or we begin to idolize things. Maybe we need to begin to tear those altars down, and we need to come back before the altar of God. That we need to come back to a well-constructed altar, an altar that's built on Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. That we say, Jesus, I need to put you back in first place in my life, because maybe you fall into second and third and fourth and fifth place, but now is the time. It's a good time. It's a time of revival. I hope for us that we would come before the Lord, that we would say, it's time for me to refocus. It's time for me to get straight. Life's hard. Life's stressful. I've got some sins that's been in my life. I've just kind of been slacking, and I hadn't been seeking you, and I hadn't been serving you, and I've been doing what's evil in your sight, just like your people did in the Old Testament. But now may be the time that it's time for us to tear down those altars of old and come before the altar of the Lord that's been established by Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what God calls Gideon to do. Now, Gideon, he was still kind of afraid about this. He wasn't really willing to go out and do it at night. During the day, he went out and did it at night. But nonetheless, he did what God called him to do. And what God was calling him to do was to call God's people away from sin and to reestablish God's people on the Word of God and on the truth of God and on the works of God and on the greatness of God. And that's what we need in our world today, in our country today. We got so many idols and so much sin, and so many people are celebrating so much stuff that's just pure evil. And it's time that those altars are torn down. And maybe God's going to use us in some way in the lives of the people that we encounter, in the community that we encounter, in the world that we encounter, that maybe God's going to call us in some way to begin to help tear down some of those altars and some of those lies of the devil. You know, so many times we see in our world today that what's evil people call good and what's good people call evil. But we want to be those who point people to the Word of God and to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can show them what is good. And maybe today God wants to use us to begin to tear down some of those false idols and altars in our life, that God can begin to work in us to use us to tear some of those things down in our world. Judges chapter 6. Verse 34. This is the verse that I read last night that really caught me when I read it. Judges chapter 6, verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord took control of Gideon. What a beautiful and powerful thing for us to think about. Now, we see this sometimes in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God comes down on somebody. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in the book of Acts. We see that even when we become Christians, that the Holy Spirit indwells in us. But we also see these occasions that the Holy Spirit comes upon people in a powerful way. And maybe you've experienced that in your life. There are times that probably in your life, maybe you were by yourself and you felt the Spirit of God. That you really begin to seek God and you really begin to call out to God and you really begin to read His Word and you pray to Him and you trust Him and you listen to Him. And there are times in our life when we feel the Spirit of God. You've probably been to a church service, maybe here, maybe somewhere else. There are some times that you really feel the Spirit of God moving. That's not to say that the Spirit of God isn't at work every time we come together, but there's sometimes something different, where God's Spirit just seems to move in a different way, in a powerful way, in a mighty way, that it just kind of shakes us to our core. And that is a beautiful and a powerful thing. And that is my prayer this week for us as individuals and for us as a church, that God's Spirit would move on us in a powerful way, that God's Spirit would shake us and reignite a fire in us, an excitement in us, a joy in us, that we would praise God and serve God and repent of our sins and be willing and open to whatever God may call us to as individuals and as a church. And I pray and I hope that God's Spirit will be poured out upon us, and it was for Gideon, and that's how Gideon was able to do the things that God was calling him to do, because God had enabled him, and it was the very Spirit of God that it says what? In my translation, it says, took control of him. Here's a better translation. This will be from the NASB. In the same verse, NASB says, so the Spirit of the Lord covered Gideon like clothing. Now that's a better translation of the original Hebrew language there. The word that's used there, that's what it means, to be clothed. It's as though the Holy Spirit was on Gideon, like he was clothed, like he was wearing a cloak, like he was wearing a coat, like he was wearing a robe, that the Holy Spirit just kind of engulfed Gideon, that he was clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that should be what our desire is and what we seek in our life. The Holy Spirit would be among us and upon us in that same type of way. And we see the same type of language. We see here in the Old Testament that Gideon was clothed with the Holy Spirit. We see that same type of language talking about Christians in the New Testament. If you want to flip with me, you can. To Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. In the verses before, Paul had been telling them not to do any evil. That's kind of summarizing. But then he says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no plans to satisfy the fleshly desires." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Same type of language that Gideon was clothed in the Spirit. And Paul says that we as Christians are to be clothed, are to put on Jesus in the same way that we would put on a coat. And then we see a similar thing in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. "For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Now that's the same type of language we just saw of Gideon. That we would be clothed in Jesus Christ. What we wear represents who we are. Here's a good example of that. You've been watching the Olympics. You'll notice that every country, they got their uniform on. Everybody from every country is wearing the same uniform. They all match. And their clothes, what they're dressed in, represents who they are and who they represent. And that's how we are to be as Christians. We are to be clothed in Jesus Christ, that people see Christ in us. Now, we don't wear a shirt that says Jesus, but we do have our actions. And what do our actions say? And what do our words say? When people look at us, are we those that they see who are clothed in Jesus Christ? That is the way that we act and the way that we present ourselves, does it show that we represent who Jesus is? Does it show that, hey, we are here for Jesus Christ? We are on Team Jesus. And that ought to be evident in how we live our lives. And so Gideon was clothed with the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God works in us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul says, look, you need to put on Jesus. You need to be clothed in Jesus. And so we need to strive to do that. We need to strive to make that a point in our lives. That we are those who are clothed in Jesus. That we put on Jesus every day before we get ready to walk out. That we say, okay, today, Lord Jesus, I'm going to represent you. Today, Lord Jesus, when people see me, let them see you. And when we sin, and when our mouth gets away from us, and our attitude gets away from us, and it does sometimes, they're not seeing Jesus, they're seeing us. So we have to say, all right, I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help change my heart. I need you to help my weaknesses. God, if you want to use me for your kingdom, I want to be willing, and I want to be able, but I need you to help me, dear Lord. And I need your Holy Spirit to be upon me. And I want to put on Jesus and everything that Jesus is so that I can be like Him and follow His example. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we put on Jesus and begin to live like Jesus, God can use us in a powerful way. But only when we tear down those altars of sin. Only when we come before the altar of Jesus Christ with His crucifixion and resurrection. Only when we put on Christ can God begin to use us and the Holy Spirit can come upon us. And when He does, powerful things happen. If you continue reading the story of Gideon, Gideon eventually gets a group of men. He gets ready to go take on these Midianites and God tells him, He says, there's too many men. Now you would think if you're going to war, you're going to fight a bunch of people. And it says of the Midianites that they were countless, essentially. That there was a lot of them, it says in the scripture. A ton of them. And so Gideon had gathered up, when you turn to chapter 7, 32,000 men. And God said, that's too many. And so 22,000 of them left. And God says, that's still too many. And listen to what God says. God says in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many people for me to hand the Midianites over to you, or else Israel might brag, I did it myself. So Israel was going to say, oh, I did it myself. So what God is saying is, I don't want you to trust in anything you can do. I don't want you to trust in your army. I don't want you to trust in your weapons. I don't want you to trust in your skills. I want it to be known that the only possible way that this miracle, that this act that's about to occur is going to be by me, so that my people will know my power. So he's got Gideon ready to serve, ready to go. He's got his 32,000 people, 22,000 leave. Then he's got 10,000. Then he says, you still got too many. He says, you need to get him to drink from the water. Ever how they drink is going to determine which ones I'm going to use. And God said, okay, the ones that drink this way, those are the ones you're going to use. 300 men. From 32,000 to 300 men. And God says, okay, now you're ready. So now you've got this Midianites that are just numerous. And God says, I want you, Gideon, to go with these 300 men, and I want you to take care of business. And here's what he sent with them. A trumpet in one hand and a pitcher or a jar with a torch in the other hand. Now you got 300 men going up against a ton of Midianites, and they ain't got nothing but a trumpet and a torch inside of a jar. And God said, go. And you know what they did? They went. And they went and they surrounded the people. And Gideon said, when I give you the signal, you do what I tell you. And Gideon gave them the signal. And they broke those jars. They broke those pitchers. They got their torches. They blew their trumpets. And they began to holler. And all the Midianites and the others that was there, they got up in a state of confusion. They didn't know what was going on. And the enemies began to kill themselves. God did that with Gideon and 300 people against this countless number of Midianites and their friends. They began to kill one another. And then they hightailed it out of there. And that is the power of God. But that could have never happened if Gideon would have not been willing to do what God called him to do. But he was willing. And because he was willing, the Spirit of God came upon him, and God was able to work in a miraculous way. And we don't come here tonight glorifying Gideon. Yeah, we recognize that he was obedient to God. But we come here and glorify God because God said, look, my people are going to know that it was me who did this miraculous work. Maybe some of us are Gideons tonight. Maybe some of us, there's something that God has called us to do. Now, I suspect that God probably hadn't called any of you to go fight some army with tens of thousands of people. And so if God can overcome a huge army with no telling how many people, with 300 men, then surely whatever he's calling you to do, he's got the power to do it through you. He's got the power to let his Spirit work in you if you'd let him. Maybe this needs to be a season for us to tear down those altars of sin in our life. To build a better altar, to come to a better altar that's been built by Jesus Christ, that we would trust in Him, and that in trusting in Him that we would seek Him tonight, that we would seek Him in this week to come, that God's Spirit will be poured out upon us in a mighty way. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You. We thank You for Your good Word. I pray, dear Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would come upon us, dear Lord. Maybe we are like Your Israelites in this story. Maybe there is a lot of evil in our life. I pray that You would help us to repent of that, dear Lord. Maybe we are like Gideon in this story. Maybe You're calling us to serve You in some way. And dear Lord, we might be making excuses. And they might all be good excuses, God. We might be just as weak and just as nothing as Gideon felt like he was. But nonetheless, You used him, dear Lord. And so I pray that if You call us, that we would be so faithful that You would use us in the same way. Dear Lord, I pray that if there is sin in our life, that we would tear that sin down and that we would replace it with Jesus Christ, God. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be among us. Your Holy Spirit would work in our lives and our hearts tonight and tomorrow and next week, that You would begin to do mighty things, dear Lord, not for our glory, but for Your glory. Dear Lord, we don't ever want any good thing that's done to come back to us, because, God, we're just serving you. You're the one who does the work. You're the one who did the work through Gideon. You're the one who brought the deliverance through Gideon. And God, you will be the one who does the work through us. So whatever you call us to, I pray that you'd help us to be obedient. I pray that you'd pour your Spirit out on us to give us the power and the strength to do things that are beyond our wildest imaginations, that are greater than anything that we could possibly do on our own, dear Lord, because we don't come here tonight trusting in our strength, because we're pretty weak. But we come here tonight trusting in your strength that's been established through Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. So I pray, God, that if there's one that has not trusted in Jesus, that maybe tonight would be the night. And for those who have trusted in Jesus, dear Lord, I pray that we would keep Jesus first in our life. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.